We will now turn to Deuteronomy 8 and read the entire chapter, Deuteronomy 8. And let us hear the word of God as it comes to us this morning. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Thus far, the holy and infallible word of God. Dear congregation, the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer all focus on our duties toward the Lord God as our Heavenly Father. It begins already with the address Our Father, which art in heaven. But then, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The next three petitions focus on our needs. Really in an amazing order, isn't it? Praying for our daily bread even before the forgiveness of sins and to be kept from evil. Because the fourth petition is, as you can find it in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. We wish to consider with you this morning the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. But then from the perspective of the Old Testament view, how the Lord our God cared for His people Israel, not only as they traveled through the wilderness, but also as they were about to enter into the promised land. We wish to do that then from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and also from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50, which you can find in back of your Psalter, page 86. But the word of our text then is Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where we hear God's word to us this morning. And he, Moses speaking about the Lord, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And then Lord's Day 50, question 125. Which is the fourth petition? And then the answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. We find that in this answer to the catechism, the instructors, as it were, reworded, give us this day our daily bread, because the entire answer could be read as a prayer and prayed as such. Just, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary. So we find here a prayer, and that's our theme, praying for our daily bread. In the first place, for our daily provisions. In the second place, for our daily obedience. In the third place, for our daily confidence. So praying for our daily bread, provisions, obedience, and confidence. First then, provisions. The Lord our God is a God of abundant provisions. Israel could certainly testify of that. We read it together. The Lord reminded them by means of Moses that they should not forget. They, and we too, dear congregation, are so prone to forget how good the Lord has been in the past. Day by day, as the Israelites are about to enter into the promised land, finally, after all these years, 40 long years, Moses reminds them how the Lord cared for them. Remember, it says in verse 2, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. But remember how the Lord kept you. He says, we're saying to them, did you lack anything? Was anything missing? Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, but then also and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. It was something entirely new. The Lord has made a way where there was no way. He gave food when there was no food. Manna. What is that? Literally it means. The people looked at it. What is it? It was on the ground, boys and girls, every morning. A fresh supply. Enough for the day. Every day. What a wonderful thing. They could scoop it up and make it into bread. Wholesome bread. But you know too, there were times when they loathed it. Unthankful. We're not just looking at them, are we? It's God's word to us. Dear congregation, how often do we not say that? I hope not, boys and girls, but I know it happens. When we hear what kind of supper we have, we turn up our noses and, oh, this? Can't we have that? But did you ever lack anything? It goes on in verse 4, where the Lord says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Amazing! The clothes didn't wear old in 40 years. And the shoes, boys and girls, by the way, it looks is that they grew along with their feet. They didn't need new shoes. You probably got new clothes. New shoes to go back to school, all nice and new. And you notice that the sizes were bigger compared to a year ago. They need to buy new shoes. But the Lord says, you didn't need any of that. They stayed new. And your sandals, as it were, grew along with you. Amazing thing. And the Lord says, I gave you water when you were thirsty. We read about that in verse 15. There was no water. But I brought water out of a rock, out of an unlikely place. All your needs were supplied every day. This day. Day by day. You notice that twice in this chapter and several other places, it's emphatically stated, this day. I command thee this day. And verse 11. Again, which I command thee this day. That's the emphasis on the Lord's Prayer too. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. In other words, from now on, this way, pray. Like this. And you notice the word therefore. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And the words therefore point back to the verses before that in Matthew 6, where it speaks about the heathen, that they use many words and try to persuade God to be good for them. The Lord Jesus says, don't pray like them. You don't have to persuade God to be good. He's a fountain of good. He says, don't pray like the heathen, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. In other words, so the Lord Jesus says, as you go into the unknown future, don't forget how God was in the past. Don't forget either that the future is known to God, though it's unknown to you. It is known to the Lord God, your Heavenly Father. Yes, you have daily needs, but there are daily provisions in abundance. And so the congregation, as the people of Israel, looked forward into a new time, and the people, even in Jesus' days, were on the threshold of a new testament. A new dispensation, a new reality of fellowship with God, still through Christ, evermore through Christ. So we too today, as we move into a new season, vacations are over, schools begin again, many activities in the church start afresh. As it were, we enter into a new land. And it's a promised land. There are many things to fear, but there are also many things to anticipate with joy and gladness. For the Lord our God is a God of abundant provisions. So as we go then into this new season for church and school, and maybe for maybe you start a new job or go to a new school, whatever it may be, look back and see what the Lord has done in the past. And then look up from looking at what He has done to see who He is who did all these things. That He is the same, the I am that I am. And so pray the fourth petition. As it says in Lord's Day 50, which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. You note, first of all, it says all things necessary. Not what we want, but for what we need. All things necessary. All things we need. Secondly, notice, all things. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary. You realize there that praying for our daily bread is not just that we have a slice of bread every day and that's it. The word bread represents everything we need to maintain our physical health and strength. Everything need for the body. But maybe you then wonder and think, well, if God knows already, as we just read, He knows already what we have need of before we ask Him, why then still ask? Right? If we pray for our daily bread and we know it's already in the cupboard, or that mom and dad have enough money to buy it, why still pray for it? Well, that's why the instructors go on to say that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. So God knows, but we must pray so that we too may know. What? Well, our great need. That we would be aware of our need for Him, but also that we may know Him. To be the fountain of all good. And that we would acknowledge that by our prayers. By calling upon His name, acknowledging our great dependence as well as His great provisions. Both. So we do not come to the Lord to inform Him of our needs, but to be aware of it ourselves, of our great needs, and humbly rejoice in the fact that we have a God who so abundantly showers us with blessings, as He did in the past, without that we deserved it. So He will, being faithful, do it also in the future, but a day at a time. So fathers and mothers, in our midst, it's not only about the needs of our family, but this is also about our Heavenly Father's good pleasure. You see, He's pleased to provide at home, at work, in school, in the church, daily. It's His delight to give us all good things. And that's no wonder, for He is a fountain of all good. An overflowing fountain of all good things. It's His delight to give it, and to give it abundantly. And not just bread. There's no one here that had only bread today or yesterday or the day before. We had way more than that. And it shows that as we pray for bread, how much more the Lord gives us every day. That's why we must look back and up to remember How many times doesn't the Lord exhort His people to remember, to not forget? So He will provide us with everything we need in our family life, in our church life, school. Plymouth, PRTS, other colleges and schools, homeschools, wherever we will be going, boys and girls, to be educated. The Lord will provide for our students and teachers alike. Therefore, pray every day. Give us this day health, strength, understanding, that I may understand my lessons, Lord, today. Help me to be clear in my mind. Maybe you worry about it, perhaps, about certain subjects. You look up against it. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. Daily physical and mental strength and ability to learn my lessons and for the teachers to teach them. From the kindergarten till the highest and the most advanced education that perhaps we will partake of. And children, we go back to school, meeting new teachers. How shall the teacher be? Will the teacher like me? Will I find friends? A new grade? Maybe you're worried about going to high school, or for the first time into college, or into the PRTS, or whatever it may be. Unknown, yes, to you and me, but not to God. God knows. What a comfort that is. He knows already. When you begin to ask, He knows already what you're going to be asking for, and He's ready to give it. What a blessing. He's able. He's willing to give. But He wants us to ask. He wants you to ask, boys and girls. He wants you to ask for your daily food and daily strength and daily understanding in the class. And at the end of the day, to thank Him, because we must acknowledge Him. That means we must own it all to Him. We must look to Him in the beginning of the day and at the end of the day and throughout the day. This day, one day at a time. Well, tomorrow will come, that will again be tomorrow, then it will be this day. One day at a time. What a tender God we have. Just one day at a time. So He provided, did He not, for Israel? They first thought, oh, all this manna, what will be tomorrow? I'll scoop up some extra for tomorrow. And you know what happened? Next morning they would look at that manna. What happened? Do you know what happened? The worms were in it. They threw it away. Oh, that's no good. The Lord wanted to teach them today. Tomorrow there's a fresh supply. Trust me for it. Young people, camp's over. I know from previous years that there were many among you that felt so comfortable and safe in that week of camp, looking up against leaving it, going back into the world. Now the theme was in the world, but not off the world. But you know, you can't stay at camp forever. Life goes on. It can be in church, safe. You have to go back into the world. Many dangers, pitfalls, but many opportunities too. Many enemies to fight, yes. Many fears to conquer, but also many blessings to enjoy and share. Things you've learned in this past week. Take your notes with you, or get the tapes or the CDs and listen to it again, because it's overwhelming. I talked to several of you. They said, there's so much, you cannot take it in anymore. So much now. Now apply it. Seek God's grace. Say and pray, give us this day our daily bread. So that you may apply that which you have learned. But older ones, no matter who we are, how will I enter into this new season? All these activities, catechism classes, other classes, Bible studies. How will you enter? God knows our needs. He knows the provisions He has. But do you? Do you know your need? Do you know also God's provision? Do you long for it? Do you seek it? Are you intending to be partaker of as many opportunities as will be given to you to come to church and to study the Word of God and to feed, to know that you will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Let's pray daily. Give us this day our daily food, strength, health, so that we can perform our daily duties at home, at school, and at work, and in the church. But that brings us to our second point. We pray for our daily bread, not only for daily provisions, but for daily obedience. Because that's the purpose and the place also of this petition. You see, to eat our daily bread is not the goal. When we pray for our daily bread and when we get it, we're not finished. That bread is not the goal, but it's the means to a greater goal, and that is service and obedience. Activity. We get strength from food in order to do something. Our physical needs are important. Extremely important. And the Lord will bless that. But it is to serve our spiritual needs, not just to please ourselves, but to please God and our neighbor. To love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. That's why we get bread. Simply stated. The first three petitions, lofty goals, and we've heard about that in the past weeks. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But in order to do that, we must eat. It's as simple as that. Not to pamper our body and indulge in that food, but to eat and to drink and to rest in such a way that we are fit for service. So pray, give us this day our daily bread. You see, Israel was reminded of that particular truth, that the food that rained down from heaven, manna, wasn't just there for themselves to be indulged upon, but it had to be used in service and obedience. Serving the Lord their God. Israel was reminded of that truth so many times, painfully so. But they were so forgetful of that. They got all these blessings later on in Canaan again, when indeed they had that land flowing of milk and honey. All these good things. But they ended up living for them. And not using them in the service, obedient service of God. They were so forgetful. So selfish. So disobedient. That's why they had to wander in the desert for 40 years in the first place. And that's why now Moses must remind them, God speaking through him in these verses that we read together. And we see that the emphasis is on doing and keeping and obeying. Verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. That's why the Lord says, I gave you manna. That's why I gave you water. That's why I gave you clothes and shoes and shelter. And so it is today. When we pray for our daily bread, we must know that it is to make us fit for service. Verse 2, it says, remember. Remember. Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. And to prove thee, to test thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. He humbled thee, it goes on in verse 3, and suffered thee to hunger. Sometimes the Lord withheld food, so they would feel the pain of the hunger and the pain of the thirst, and would cry out to God again and be refocused on him. To make them know that they couldn't live by manna only, but by the Word of God. And the Word of God demanded perfect obedience. That's why he humbled them. That's why He supplied all these goods for them. That's why He chastened them. Verse 5. As a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. As a father his child. Withholding certain things from them so that they would again be obedient. That's what I've done, the Lord says. And that's still I need today, dear congregation. Especially in the society in which we live, so much we have. To live for it. And then we might be in danger of praying this prayer, give us this daily bread, and get bread in abundance and food, but in the meantime starve our soul and perish, as the people of Israel were in danger of doing. I testify, the end of the chapter, against you this day, again the word this day, and ye shall surely perish. James warns us, chapter 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Serving self instead of others. And you find that really in this beautiful prayer too, that it says, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't say, give me this day my bread. Give us our bread. So that we would not forget that we're speaking to not my Heavenly Father, but our Heavenly Father. We're part of a family. The family of God. All those that truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are brothers and sisters. In the Lord. We're not here there just to please ourselves and to feed ourselves and to live for ourselves. Our daily bread. Give us. Literally it says, our bread. It begins in the Greek with that. Our bread, sufficient for the day, give us this day. That's an interesting way of putting it. Sufficient for the day. Sufficient bread to eat so that I have enough strength to obey. Not just to keep us alive for a day, but to make us fit for a day of service. Not only that we would have life, but that we live. That speaks in our text also, that make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live, really live. If we just eat and drink and do not serve God, we don't really live. We're dead, though physically alive, but spiritually dead. So the focus is on living for the Lord our God, for His glory. Otherwise you may have all blessings and yet have nothing. You may have everything and we may even think that the Lord is blessing us. Say, the Lord blesses us, look at all these gifts we have. Well, the congregation and many persecuted Christians apparently are not so blessed as we are. They lose their houses, their families, their possessions, their jobs. Are they not blessed then? The Catechism says that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. Do you see that the focus even in our asking for daily bread is the Lord our God? And then he goes on, say, and that neither our care nor industry, there you have it, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. All these gifts that we have, all our care, all our worrying and working and laboring and sweating and toiling. That's the word industry, that has to do that with our work, our diligence, our care, our planning, our scheming, worrying, fussing. All our anxieties, all our working, not even thy gifts. can profit us. So even not if God showers us with all these gifts and we think we have an answer to give us this day our daily bread, but it doesn't turn us into obedient servants of God, no profit. We may have good health, we may have strength, we may have a good mind, maybe you're an A-plus student, maybe you have made great advances in your job and made promotion after promotion, made much money and think the Lord is blessing you, but is it unto the Lord? Whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus. No profit if it doesn't have this focus. Just like Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, that psalm, neither our catechism, doesn't say don't labor, don't keep watch, don't care, don't be industrious. Of course it doesn't say that. We must labor. We must keep watch. We must care. We must plan. We must organize. We must study hard, boys and girls at school. We must pray for it. We must use these gifts of God, but don't lose sight of the focus. To know and to serve the Lord our God through the Lord Jesus Christ as our Heavenly Father. Pray and work. You see, the Lord God is pleased and glorified when we are dependent upon Him. When we go to Him in all our needs for His provisions. It's for His glory. He's pleased to be known in our lives like that. That we would be dependent on Him and obedient to Him. But in which way? In a way of putting all our trust in Him. Working as if we would do it ourselves, yet putting no trust in what we have done, no trust in what we have received, but in Him alone. Putting all our confidence in Him alone. Praying for our daily bread speaks then not only of our need, but of God's abundant provision. But it also reminds us of the need for our obedience. It's like fuel for an engine. You put fuel into a car and the engine doesn't work, then that fuel is of no use. But it is not only for our daily obedience, but for daily confidence as well. We have many needs, indeed. Many needs. Not just to live, but to live for God's glory. Always. Whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So we not only have to do our work at school and at home and learn our lessons, boys and girls, and labor to the best of our ability, but we must do it even to the glory of God. Not as unto men, but as unto God. So when we look at the provision, we look at the demand of perfect obedience, then we suddenly realize, if it is well, that this is a tall order. Yes, really, as Jesus said in Luke 18:27, impossible. As the people said, this is impossible. Indeed, Jesus says, it's impossible with men, but it is possible with God. You see, for every daily need, there is an abundant daily supply with the Lord our God. He not only demands perfection, but He provides it. Knowing that we cannot even begin to obey the way He commands it. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of that, of course, we have a picture in manna, in bread. The bread with the small b must lead us to the bread with a capital B, I am the bread of life, Jesus says. You see, we go to Him and we know that we cannot bring anything to Him but our sins, but we must receive everything from Him in order to do everything that we are commanded to do. In other words, we do not come only for physical supplies, but spiritual supplies. And the Lord Jesus said in so many places, like it's in John 16:23, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. He not only knows our needs before we ask, but He even says, whatsoever. That's a blank check. You wouldn't write a check of $10,000 and signing it and leaving it lying around. Anyone can fill in his name and cash it. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. He's ready and willing. So we're not only called to be dependent and obedient, but confident. He is a ready God. He is a willing God. We do not come to Him as if we have to persuade Him. He is already persuaded from eternity in and through Christ to give us abundantly even beyond what we can think of or ask. Without Him, nothing. But with Him, everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul says. And that was with the people of Israel too. Look how the Lord shows to His people what He has done, but also what He has laid up for them. When He says in verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. And then He goes on, verse 7 and on. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths, springs, wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, land of olive oil, honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it whatsoever. God says, look back, haven't I provided with manna? Look ahead, look what the country I've prepared for you. Then look up, because it's all because of who I am. It's got nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me. You will not lack anything. And you know what is so remarkable? If you read these earlier chapters, read it this time, today sometime, where the Lord really showed that this land was theirs already, by promise. They only had to go in and possess it. That's all that was remaining. Go in and possess it. Verse 1 of this chapter. And throughout the book of Deuteronomy, about 50 times, the Lord tells them to go in and possess it. Possess that which you already possess. Take hold of that which I already have given to you by promise. For God's promise and His actual giving is one. And when God gives His word, that stands firm, will not be changed. So the Lord's prayer, the congregation, give us this day our daily bread. We saw already, it doesn't say my bread, but our bread. But it also doesn't say, give us this day thy daily bread. Like God gave the country of Canaan as their possession to possess it, so He gives us our daily bread. We may pray, our daily bread. That doesn't mean we have a right to it by nature. Neither did Israel have any right to the promised land. You know that, boys and girls and young people, all the ones. If it would have been by right, Israel would have perished in the wilderness. It was an absolute, pure, free, sovereign gift of grace. They had no right to it. And yet, it was theirs by promise. The first time they didn't enter. And they had to turn around because they had no faith and they couldn't enter it. Oh, let it not be so with us, dear congregation, that we would not enter it for lack of faith, distrusting the Lord our God as they did. By nature we have no right to it, but by grace we do. Israel by grace had a right to the promised land, and we by grace only, we have a right to our daily bread. If we humble ourselves before the Lord our God, confessing our sins and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, it's God's good pleasure, free, sovereign gift. There's nothing that is in you or me that makes us qualified, but everything in Him. We are not worthy. He is. So, with a gracious, childlike right, we may and must respond to this command to so pray with a childlike confidence, expectantly trusting that the Lord indeed will wash us and cleanse us and give us all we need so that we would serve Him, being justified, then also being sanctified by His grace. He is worthy. All our rights are in Him alone, not in us. That's why the answer goes on, and therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Not trusting anymore in our hard labor, we can lose the job tomorrow. Not trusting in our strength, we get sick. We might already carry sickness in our body without knowing it. No trust in man, not even in princes, but only in the Lord our God. Withdraw our trust from all creatures, but place it alone in Thee. And so, dear congregation, that it honors and pleases the Lord that we look away from all other helpers and come to Him as a little child comes to his father and say, Lord, I cannot do anything, I know nothing, but I look to Thee. He says, I will give you everything you need. Could it be that we are too grown up? That we don't know how to come as a little child? Trusting? Even when a child has done wrong, yet coming to daddy, say, I'm so sorry, I was bad, but please forgive me. Coming to boys and girls, to your father, you ask for a piece of bread, will he give you a stone? Now, what man, Jesus says in Matthew 7, when his son asks, give me bread, give a stone or a fish, and give him a serpent? If he then, he says to the people, being evil, you then, being evil, and the word comes to us today, if you, I, we, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to the children, how much more will our Heavenly Father ask or give good things to us when we ask them? He will more readily, more willingly give us the good gifts than we give good gifts to our children. But to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want, or what we desire, or what we think we need. Because everything has to be channeled into that service back to God. Whatever God gives, He wants us to render back to Him. So the Lord will answer our prayers, but we may not get always what we ask. Instead of health, He may give sickness. Instead of healing, He may give prolonged sickness. Instead of a companion, He may give us loneliness. Maybe He will ask for strength. We all like to be strong. But maybe He gives us weakness. Maybe we ask that God would remove a thorn from our flesh, like the apostle prayed for 3 times. Maybe we ask for success, but instead it is defeat. And we think God doesn't answer our prayer, but we forget that He does. He always answers prayer. Even when we get defeat, when we ask for success. And when the thorn is still there, you know what the Apostle Paul then heard from Jesus? In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And listen to this, dear congregation. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength. There's only one way that we will learn about God's strength when we are weak. There's only one way that we will learn and appreciate wisdom when we are foolish. When we cannot do it, and then to find that the Lord can and will do it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then he goes on. He doesn't stop there. We like to stop there. That's already going far enough. But then he goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's the childlike confidence. When Paul prays for the thorn to be removed, first he prayed against it, then he accepted it, and then he went on to glory in it. For he knew that was the way that the power of Christ would rest upon it. Then he could be obedient. Then he could wait upon the Lord. Then he knew that everything was well every day. That's this childlike confidence and trust. My Father knows best. It's a hard times to get there sometimes, but it's so good to be there. Have you been there? When everything was answered differently than you prayed for? Could you say then at times, my Father knows best? I don't understand it. I need health to do my work. I need wisdom and understanding to do my work at school. My Father knows best. He always answers prayer. Also the fourth petition. Even for those that suffer hunger. For bread then becomes all the more precious. And it will certainly lead us to the bread of life. Trust and obey. Surrender. Then all will be well. And that's what we see in verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But the danger is there that when we are full, that we forget the Lord our God, when we're in a pinch we cry to God, but when everything goes well we forget him. Just like Israel. That's why the word goes on in verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, build goodly houses. Well, beautiful houses. A lot of money. All the toys and trinkets. But dear congregation, don't live for that. The Lord can take it away in a moment. But that's not even the worst. That may be a good thing if it would bring us back to God. Remember, that's the idea. That's every time then thy heart, 14, be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Do not forget me, the Lord says. Don't just receive the gifts, but remember the giver. Not only for what I have given you so far, but for what I will give you yet more to come. Not only in this life, but particularly for those who put their trust in the Lord in glory to come. Remember what I've done for you. I fed you with manna. Verse 16, which thy fathers knew not. We think sometimes there is no solution for the problem we are facing. Well, we don't need to know. We put our trust in the Lord. He knows. That he might humble thee. That he might prove thee and do thee good at thy latter end. That's the purpose. The latter end. Serving God, dying in peace. I am the bread of life, the Lord Jesus says. When the Pharisees challenged him,
when they asked him for a sign. And they were comparing Moses. And he said, Moses made manna to rain. No, the Lord Jesus says, my Father in heaven gives you the bread of life. I am that bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So to pray, dear congregation, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, it's for the body, but it must lead us every time to the living bread, to the Lord Jesus Christ. For only through him can we begin to fulfill true obedience, pleasing to God and satisfying for our soul and body. Amen.